Father, we thank you for, Lord, this life that we have. Every one of us are different and have our own different talents and gifts. But help us, Lord, to be thankful for the life that we have been given and help us to use it in a way that would serve you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The last 2 weeks, we've had Dan come to us 2 weeks ago, and he brought us into Jerusalem with Jesus and took us up to the cross. And he really got in depth on the medical makeup of what happens at crucifixion and the agony the body goes through. And so many times I think we just take for granted that we say Jesus was crucified and he died on a cross for us. But there's so much more to it than that. He died an agonizing death. Isaiah 52:14 tells us that Jesus his face was marred more than any man. He was beaten more than anybody was ever beaten. His countenance of his face was horrible because they beat him so badly. And so Dan helped us to see that the agony he went through. We need to not just be able to say, well, Jesus was crucified, died for me. He died a horrible death for us. He didn't have to die. And last week, Brian brought us out of the tomb. He shared with us how Jesus was sealed into the tomb, that the people there were afraid or tried to start the story that Jesus was going to be taken away and his disciples were going to steal his body. And so they sealed him in a tomb, but regardless, death could not hold him because God is God. And God used the angels to roll that stone away, and Jesus is alive. There's so many people in the story, the crucifixion story, that we could talk about. We could talk about Simon of Cyrene and how he carried Jesus' cross. And the Bible never tells us what happened to Simon. We don't know if he went on to become a believer or that was just something that happened that day and he never thought twice about it. We don't know the answer to that. We know that when Jesus was buried, that we know that Joseph of Arimathea, and we know that Nicodemus took his body away. And we know that Nicodemus is told it to us in Scripture that he met with Jesus privately at night. Why? Because he was a religious leader. He didn't want his buddies to know he was talking to Jesus. But he must have had some kind of change in his life. But the Bible doesn't tell us much more about Nicodemus, that, except for Joseph and him took the body away. And they laid it in the tomb that Joseph of Arimathea provided. There's so many different people we could talk about in the story. We could talk about the women that came early in the morning. But today I want to focus mainly on Peter, but we got to talk about the disciples as a whole first. Jesus was with his disciples, and he said to them in Matthew 26:31, Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, and I was looking through Israel pictures when I was there with my dad. We were standing in the very back of the city looking out at the Mount of Olives, and right at the bottom of the Mount of Olives over into the left-hand corner is a little garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. But this verse says that it doesn't mention Gethsemane. He was on the Mount of Olives with the disciples and says, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, and he quotes from Zechariah 13:7, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. At this time, Peter had to speak up and he said, though they all fall away, can you imagine? His other disciples are right there with him, his brothers and sisters, if you will. Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. Now, the book of Luke says this whole account just a little differently. I'm going to read it out of the book of Luke, chapter 22, verses 31 to 34, if you're following along. Simon had just said, I'll never fall away like these guys. They might fall away, but not me. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon. He just got done saying, Simon, Satan's asked permission to sift all of you like wheat. But he singled Simon out. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have returned, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me. See, it was no secret to Jesus that his disciples were going to fall away. Prophecy showed it in the book of the prophets, in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah wrote about it. Jesus knew exactly what it meant, and he told him. He wasn't afraid to tell him that you guys are going to fall away from me. Today I want to focus on Peter, because the Bible focuses on Peter at this point in time. Jesus is eventually praying in the garden. He's arrested. And Peter follows at a distance, the Bible tells us. And as they were taking Jesus away and they took him into the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, I like the account that Luke shares with us. It says, then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, and when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them. Now, no other account when Peter's following around does any scripture in any other gospel mention this fire. Peter, and when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them. Michael's going to bring a fire up on the screen. And when he does, up in the left-hand corner, it says, Sleepy Sounds. Do not go to sleep. I want you to look at the fire as we talk about Peter and the rest of the story. It says, Peter sat down with them, and a servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else said to him, you are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. And about an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Other scripture says he's a Galilean. His speech gives him away. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord and spoken to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Now at this point in the story, I cannot imagine the hurt that Jesus was feeling. Even though he told Peter that he would do this, he had to be hurt by it. And I can't even imagine how bad Peter felt, because the Bible tells us he went out and wept bitterly. But see, Jesus didn't hide this from his disciples. He didn't hide it from Peter. He let him know what was going to happen. What he said after it is the most important part. When you return, strengthen your brethren. So we go through the rest of the story. Jesus is crucified, hung on a cross, and last week we celebrated his resurrection. And that morning, it had to be a Sunday morning. It was the first day of the week, the Bible tells us. That morning, the ladies are coming to the tomb. We could preach on these ladies also for quite a while, because it's for the reasoning why they came that morning. But here they come to the tomb. And the angel of the Lord spoke in Mark 16, verse 6, starting with Mark 16, verse 6. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples. This too is another one of those scriptures where nothing like this is said in any other gospel besides this one. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Now, why did the angel single out Peter? Did they know from the Father that Peter was having a rough time? We don't know the answer to that, but they singled out Peter. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Make sure you tell Peter. And maybe we could read into it, because we know he's hurting. We know he's sad. We know he's upset. We know that he's going through some hard times because of what was done. Go tell them that to go to Galilee, just as Jesus told him that he would go before them. So to Galilee they went. Now, when they went to Galilee, before they went to Galilee, they'd already seen Jesus two times. They saw him the day of his resurrection, later on in the afternoon, in the upper room. And then we know how there's a conversation that took place, and Thomas wasn't there for it. And Thomas says, I won't believe it until I've seen it with my own eyes. And the Bible tells us 8 days later, tells us in John chapter 20, right before John 21. We're going to go to John 21 really soon, so if you want to help turn there now, you can. But in the end of John, somewhere in John 20, it tells us 8 days later, Jesus showed up again in a room, and Thomas was there, and he said, Thomas, put your hands in the holes of my hand. And he didn't have to touch him, he believed. But he wouldn't believe until he saw it with his own eyes. But the Bible tells us that was 8 days after the first day that he was seen. So now we don't know the time that elapsed between that time and this time, but they went to the Galilee, like the ladies had told them that the angel said, he's going before us into Galilee, and they remembered his words. So here they are in Galilee, at the Sea of Galilee. I should have brought a picture of that. It's a beautiful scene. If you ever get a chance to go to Israel, and one of these days I'll get the picture here so we can see it. It's on my phone, but it doesn't do it justice. Starting with John chapter 21, verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, We will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, Children, do you have any fish? They answered, No. He said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Now, I'm really perplexed sometimes how they didn't realize this was Jesus right at this point in time, because they've already done this before, when Jesus said, Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, and John's writing this book and he's talking about himself, that disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, It is the Lord. And then Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards off. Simon was so excited, he put on his outer garment, jumped in, and started swimming to shore. And we know it's about 100 yards. And I don't want to swim 100 yards. That's a long ways to swim. Verse 9 goes on to say, When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish. 153 of them, the Bible tells us. And although they were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came back and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. Now it makes me wonder if Jesus ate any of this meal. Because back on the Last Supper, Jesus gave them bread and a cup, and he said, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine with you again until I do it in my Father's kingdom. So I'm going to take a guess that he ate with them, but he probably didn't drink the fruit of the vine with them because he said he'd never do that again until his Father's kingdom. He came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This now was the third time that Jesus was revealed to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, I want you to look at the fire, and I want you to think about it. Because Peter had to come up, and I mean, I'm sure a fire was commonplace in that time, day and age. But the last time Peter's mentioned being at a fire, he was watching Jesus from a distance. And then While he was warming himself by that fire, somebody said, "You are one of them." 3 times he was accused of being one of them, and 3 times he said, "Don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the guy you're talking about. I am not one of whoever you think I am." But here he is now, coming to shore, and there is a fire going. And I can't even help but imagine what might have went through his mind. Because he had to be hurting inside from what he had done. Now maybe I'm reading too much into the fire. Maybe it's just commonplace and the fire didn't mean anything to Peter. But I want you to look at the fire today, and I want you to think to yourself, have I ever done anything like Peter? Have I ever fallen like Peter? And the other question is, did I get back up? Did I go ahead and go on with life? Or did I use it as the thing that put me down and I stayed down and I wouldn't get back up again? See, I want us to look at that this morning. He swam 100 yards out of his excitement. Then he got to the shore and here was his fire. Right? Now, this next conversation Jesus had with them, you would think that Jesus would have saved it for a personal, private time between him and Peter. But in verse 15, John chapter 21, Jesus says this. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Jesus, there's two things I want you to see in this whole thing. Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" And I believe that was done to signify the 3 times that Peter denied that he knew Jesus. But at the same time, after each time he asked him, "Do you love me?" there was 3 different responses that Jesus came back with. The first one was, "Feed my lambs." The second one was, "Tend my sheep." And the third time was, "Feed my sheep." And I kind of think that when I look at this story that Jesus, remember what Jesus told Peter. When you return, strengthen your brethren. Now, I kind of think that these 3 different responses kind of paint a picture. Feed my lambs. There's going to be new people. New people coming, Peter. They're going to look up to you. You're going to have to feed those lambs. But Peter, they're not going to be lambs forever. Eventually, lambs grow up. And they become sheep. And when they do become sheep, I want you to tend them. But Peter, even sheep get older, but as they get older, they still have to eat, so keep feeding those sheep. He kind of painted a picture of, Peter, you're going to get used. You're going to work and love and serve me. And these three responses kind of paint a picture of that. Maybe I'm wrong. But see, we know that when Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, your name is Petros, Peter." His name used to be Simon. Your name is Petros. And upon this message that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail over it. You see, we know from that scripture to Simon, he was going to be instrumental in this. Peter had a job that he was supposed to be doing when Jesus was dead and gone and ascended back to his Father. He had a purpose that Jesus knew he was going to have. He had to overcome this denial, or else he would never fulfill that purpose. So as we look at Peter and what he was told clear back in Caesarea Philippi, I want us to think to ourselves, have we ever done anything? And when I say that, I know I got 2 girls sitting out here that see that I'm not always such a nice guy. Sometimes I lose my temper. Sometimes I get upset. And so I'll just tell you that right up here. I'm not always perfect. But when I do fall, the important thing is I hope that I get back up. And I feel the same thing for you. When you fall, and you will, do you get back up? Or do you find a reason to stay down for the count? So as Simon sat there and answered those questions, looked into that fire, we know that he became on fire. We know that he eventually went out in the book of Acts with John and Peter and came up to a man by a well who begging for alms. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk." And he did. And the more that Peter stayed closer to the Lord, the more powerful they became. Not because they were powerful, because God gave them power. See, Peter had a job to do. He knew he had a job to do. And he had to overcome what he had done. He had to overcome his denial. And he did. So I think that it's important as we look at Jesus and his willingness to go to the cross, the agony that he went through, that had to change his life. I can't help but believe that it had to change Simon of Cyrene's life. I can't help but it changed Joseph of Arimathea's life and Nicodemus' life and the ladies who went to the tomb to put spices on his body. I can't help but believe even though the Bible doesn't tell at the end of those stories of all those people, that it changed their lives and it changed Peter's. The question is, will it change yours? See, it was important for Peter to prevail because God had plans for Peter. As you look at the fire, I want you to ask yourself, how am I doing? Where am I lacking? See, I look around, and when I was going to Flag Center 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever that was, Josh and Micah and Timothy were just these little kids. And now I'm impressed to see that they're involved, doing things with their spouses and other people that maybe I don't know. But I'm impressed to see people that get involved and are, because God has a plan for us. God has something he wants us to do. Maybe you don't see that in your life right now, but I'm asking you to look at it and ask yourself, how am I doing? Where am I lacking? Is Jesus waiting for me to return? What excuses do I have for not returning? Does God have a plan for me? Does he have something you want me to do? When you first come to know Jesus, was there something you wanted to do, but now you haven't done it yet? Maybe God's just waiting for you to get back up to where you're supposed to be, to get up and not stay down for the count. I want to conclude with a story. The only survivor of a shipwreck washed up on a small uninhabited island. He prayed feverishly for God to rescue him, and every day he scanned the horizon for help, but none seemed forthcoming. Exhausted, he eventually managed to build a little hut out of driftwood to protect him from the elements and store his few possessions. But then one day, after scavenging for food, he arrived home to find this little hut in flames. The smoke rolled up to the sky. The worst had happened. Everything was lost. He was stung with grief and anger. "God, how could you do this to me?" he cried. Early the next day, however, he was awakened by the sound of a ship that approached the island. It had come to rescue him. "How did you know I was here?" asked the weary man of his rescuers. "We saw your smoke signal," they replied. It's easy to get discouraged when things are going bad. We shouldn't lose heart because God is working in our lives, even in the midst of pain and suffering. See, he barely lost everything. But when he lost everything, that was the smoke signal that brought his rescuers to him. I want to close with a song. There's going to be a series of questions in the song, and the people respond. You can sing the song. You can listen to the song. You can just sing the responses to the questions to the song, whatever you choose, or just to meditate on a song. There is a place in the song that I don't completely agree with, so I'm going to bring it out. "Does the Spirit move among us?" it says. He does. Now, I don't believe the Spirit's a person. Sometimes it's personified in Scripture, the Spirit is. So I'm going to sing, "It does." But I just want to point that little thing out. And the song is a beautiful song, and it's kind of based upon the scripture in the book of Revelation. Who is worthy to open the scroll, to break the seal and open the scroll? Who's worthy? Jesus is worthy. And because he's worthy of being followed. He's worthy of being worshipped. He's worthy of living your life for. Please stand and let's either sing together or whatever you want to do, this song. Please stand.